Welcome. I'm glad to be here this morning. Glad to be embarking on another week of looking at the Gospel of John. We're going to finish up the first chapter already. This is the third week. And it's kind of an interesting passage we're looking at today. But it comes on the heels, obviously, of what we covered last week. And last week, Rob talked about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a big deal, as Rob showed us. He was ordained by God, sent by God to prepare the way for the Messiah, to prepare people to hear the message that Jesus was going to bring. But he knew his role, and he pointed to Jesus. When they asked, when the religious leaders asked John, you know, are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? He said, no, I'm not. But there's one greater than I am that's here. And he pointed him out. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John had gathered, I don't know, gathered or attracted disciples. He had disciples. You know, we think disciple was a word only Jesus followers used. But John had folks that had attached themselves to him to learn more and to spend more time with him. So he had these disciples as well. And we're going to see today how he was influential in this beginning of Jesus' ministry as Jesus began to attract disciples to himself. Let's pray, ask God for his grace and favor as we look into his word and that we might be instructed. God, we thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that these things were recorded, that we might read what the disciple John recorded about what you were doing at this time. And so help us as we look into it to have ears to hear and hearts to take in what you have for us today. We commit this time to your pleasure. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So, we're going to be looking at verses 35 to 51. And I'm going to go ahead and just read this account. And it's an account with lots of interaction. Lots of someone did this and someone did that and someone said this and someone said that. And so we're going to read it and then we'll go back through and highlight a few things. So this is the day after John the Baptist, had pointed out Jesus to some of his disciples. He said, the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by. And he said, behold, look, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come, and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, Do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God descending and descending on the Son of Man. As I looked at that passage, one of the things I like to do, I like to print it out on a paper so I can write on it. I don't like to write a lot in my Bible, but I can circle, I can draw underlines and all this on a piece of paper. And there were a few words that came up. And one of them was seeking. Another was finding or found. Following and bringing. Seeking, following, finding, bringing. All throughout this account. And so we're going to start and just walk through this and look at these four aspects. Seeking. So, John the Baptist turns the spotlight off himself and onto Jesus. He tells two of his disciples, behold the Lamb of God. And they left. They walked away from John and began to follow Jesus. It says the two disciples heard him say this and they followed Jesus. I wonder what made them follow Jesus. Simply John's testimony? John's testimony that there's someone greater than I am, and there he is. These guys were miles from home. Andrew, Simon, Philip, were all from Bethsaida. Bethsaida is up on the Sea of Galilee, north on the north shore of Sea of Galilee. They were down on the along the Jordan River in the wilderness. So they were some distance from home. They had apparently, at least Andrew, had attached himself to John the Baptist as a disciple. He was obviously seeking something. He was seeking answers. He was longing for more. He was willing to go out of his way to find out what this guy John was talking about out in the wilderness. What's going on? What's going on? What drew them to Jesus? Simply the testimony of John? Possibly they maybe had heard Jesus speak some. But they took the next step. And I also wondered, how did Jesus find his disciples? Was he going about with a checklist of looking for fellows with the right set of skills or the right attributes and for the guy that checks all the boxes, as we like to say? Was he out there looking for a particular type of man? Was he looking for somebody that was accomplished or ready to go? As I thought about this, I looked ahead. I looked ahead in John. I will get there eventually, but it's 15 chapters ahead, so I thought it was okay if I went that far ahead. But in John 15:16, Jesus, this was the night he was betrayed, so at the very end of his earthly ministry, and he was speaking to his disciples, so they'd been with him now 3 years. We're zooming ahead. But he said something interesting to them. He said simply, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Sometimes we think these disciples applied to Jesus. Can I be one of your disciples? No, I chose, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And in John 6:44, Jesus was saying in the midst of his ministry, he said that no one comes to the Father, no one comes to me, Jesus, unless the Father draws him. Unless the Father draws him. And I looked up that word draws. I thought, what's that mean? It's literally hauls, drags. In fact, it's the same word when the disciples, you maybe know the account where they were fishing and weren't catching anything. Jesus said, put your net over the other side of the boat. And the net was filled with fish and they hauled it in. Same word. They hauled in the fish. So, there's something that God is doing with these men who are seeking. He's preparing them. He's been preparing Andrew and Philip and this other disciple who's not named to follow Jesus. He's been moving in them, moving in their hearts to desire more. I like to call it divine initiative. God gives the desire, that hunger for more, that caused these men to first go to John and listen to John and ponder what he was sharing, and then to take the next step to follow Jesus. God had been preparing these men to follow. They were chosen. They were drawn to Jesus by God's design, by God's will. God had been preparing them to follow. They were seeking. They were seeking answers, seeking for more. And so then following. So then it says that these disciples of John followed Jesus. They began to walk after him. They took those steps. And when Jesus saw them walking behind him, following him, he turned and said, basically, what do you want? What are you seeking? What do you want? Why are you, you know? And this is very curious to me. I would expect if I was, I would think they say, well, are you the Messiah? Or how can we know God better? Or what do I need to do to have eternal life? But what did they say? Where are you staying? That's kind of a curious response. But I guess they wanted to find out more. What's this? Who is this Jesus? And Jesus welcomed their interest. He invited them. He said, well, come and see. And then they spent the rest of the day with him. They wanted a chance to learn about him, to be close to him. They followed him. They moved after him. And they came and saw where he was staying. And we don't know whether that was a campsite or an Airbnb or what it was. But they spent that time with Jesus, learning more. Andrew and the other disciple took action. They followed. They had heart to seek that God had placed in them. And then they took action. They stepped out. And this other disciple that's not named, I just have to say it very likely is the Apostle John. John wrote this book, and he notoriously doesn't mention himself in the book. Later on in the book of John, he refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved. But it's very likely that he was possibly that other disciple of John the Baptist that followed with Andrew. So this seeking and following, oftentimes it's a little mysterious, even for us, as if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, is how did this happen? What's my role? What's God's role? And I believe it's a mysterious combination of God's work and our response. God was working in these men's lives. And when they had the opportunity to follow Jesus, they followed, they took action. They followed, they moved out. We're called to seek, we're called to pursue. In Acts 17, it says we might seek him, reach out for him and find him. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So we're called to seek. We're called to desire to be closer. It requires following. We're called to seek. Hebrews 11:6 is a famous verse about faith, and It says that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And that's more that earnestly seek is more than simple curiosity. You know, we can be curious about Jesus. Many people are, oh, I wonder who he really was, and a lot has been written about him. But a deliberate, persevering pursuit is what that earnest seeking is. An earnest, deliberate, persevering pursuit, not simply curiosity. And so in this case, with these men, Jesus initiated and the disciples responded. Jesus chose them and they responded. In John 17, 6, it's another part of that same, the night he was betrayed, that Jesus was talking, he actually in this case was praying to the Father. And he says, he's praying for his disciples. They were yours, he says. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. So in that simple sentence, there's those two things. They were yours. You entrusted them to me, Jesus speaking to his Father. And then they obeyed your word. They acted on that belief. These men took the next step. These disciples took the next step in obedience. I thought of not an imperfect example or illustration of this. Many years ago, I asked my wife Nancy to marry me. I invited her to join me in life. And so I initiated that, and then she had a decision to make. She made it pretty quickly, actually. I'm grateful. But she said yes. And then a few months later, she showed up on a really cold Saturday and made it official. But I initiated, and she responded with action. She showed up. So God has invited us. If you're here, I suspect God has spoken to you in your heart, moved you to seek him, moved you to want to know more. Are you persistent in that pursuit, following? Will you take action? Will you take the next step as he shows you? As he shows you what he has for you? Will you take the next step? Will I take the next step? Trust we will. So, seeking and following. I'm going to talk about finding and bringing. Finding. You look at this next, I think the next slide. You see this passage, this one. In about five verses, there's lots of found, lots of finding, lots of finding. Andrew, he finds his brother Simon, and he says, we found the Messiah. Or, if truth be told, the Messiah found them, but it's how they were seeing it. Philip, he goes and finds Nathanael and says, we found the one Moses and the prophets wrote about. And Nathanael, after having a short interaction with Jesus, says, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. So these men found something they were looking for. They found the Messiah. And they made some bold statements here. We found the Messiah. Found the Messiah. The King of Israel. The one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. It's interesting, these men knew their Old Testament. Some of them were fishermen. They weren't students or scholars. But they knew the Old Testament. And they knew they were waiting for the Messiah and were convinced that they'd found him. Convinced that they'd found him. And it's interesting that they made these bold statements. And I thought about that, that here, just the first interactions they're having with Jesus, and they're saying these things, and yet we know that for 3 years, there were many times they were still scratching their heads. Jesus would say something, and they'd say, "Jesus, what were you talking about? We don't understand." Or he would do something, and they would be confused. Even when he would do some miracles, they think of the time they were in a storm in the boat, and Jesus calmed the storm, and they looked at each other and said, "Who is this guy?" But here they're saying, "He's the Messiah, he's the King of Israel, the Son of God." And yet they were surprised by the things he did and said. And it's interesting when he was talking with Nathanael, and when Nathanael walked up, Jesus made a statement about his character, about his style. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But he also said, when Nathanael's, "Well, how do you know me?" "Well, I saw you when you're sitting under a fig tree." And so Jesus threw a little miracle in there, I guess, as far as Nathanael's concerned. But when Nathanael makes that bold statement about being the Son of God and the King of Israel, Jesus basically says, "You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. You're going to see heaven opened up and angels ascending and descending." So Jesus didn't give them everything at once. He didn't download to them all that he was and all that he was going to accomplish. They weren't ready for that. They couldn't comprehend it. He was patient with them. He gave them time to grow. Time to grow. He was patient. In fact, in this account, Philip is the only one that Jesus actually said, "Follow me." He's the only one that he invited to follow him. We know from the other three Gospels that the Apostle John, Peter, and Andrew were fishermen, and Jesus met them on the shore back home and gave them an invitation, "Come follow me," and they left their nets and followed him. So he was patient. He's bringing them along. He gave them time to grow. And God is patient with us as well. I believe God is patient. I know God is patient with us. I'm slow sometimes to listen. I'm slow to obey. But God is patient. But he is determined that we do grow. God is determined to see us grow. In Hebrews 6, it says that you may grow up into salvation. It says that you yourselves are like living stones being built up as a spiritual house. Colossians 1:28 says, "He's warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ." God desires us to grow up. He doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants to grow us, develop us. See us grow up. So they were finding, they found the Messiah, and then they found their friends and relatives. Andrew, first thing he did, he found Peter. "We found the Messiah," and he brought Peter. Philip went and found Nathanael, brought him to Jesus. They were bringing others to Jesus. "We found him. Come and see. Come and see." You got to see this. You got to meet this guy. And it was a natural, it seems it was a natural response to finding Jesus, telling others. Shared their exciting, they were excited. They'd been waiting for this, looking for this. And they found him. We found him. I wish I was more like that. It's easy to get kind of settled and kind of complacent about the Lord, about what he's done in our lives, what he's done in the world. These men were excited, and they were bringing others, and they couldn't help but go get their brother and their friends and bring them. I'm going to take a look at Nathanael for a couple minutes. It's this passage has a whole bunch of stuff in it, and I can't pass up this little bit about Nathanael and what he was like and his interaction with Jesus. In fact, just a word about Nathanael. I read this and I thought, oh, Jesus calling disciples. Then later in the other Gospels, there's places where Jesus appoints or decides on who the 12 are going to be, the 12 that are going to be in an inner circle. And I looked at the list, and Nathanael's not on it. I thought, wait a minute. Nathanael's not on the list. I looked in John 21 when Jesus is about to ascend to heaven, and he's restoring Peter that, they're on the beach, and Nathanael's there. So I did a little digging and read some folks that had done more digging than me, and it's supposed that Nathanael is also called Bartholomew, most likely, because in the list it lists Philip and Bartholomew, just like is Philip and Nathanael here. So that's not a certainty, but it's very likely, certainly reasonable to think that. That was Nathanael. But it's interesting what Jesus said to Nathanael when he first laid eyes on him. He said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And I think that term, no deceit, this isn't simply referring to somebody who doesn't lie. This is somebody who has the character of being without deceit in their intentions and in their attitudes and in their actions. And I think his response to Philip's description of Jesus kind of gives us a picture of what that meant when he said that we found this Jesus from Nazareth. And what did Nathanael say? Nazareth? Does anything good come from Nazareth? I mean, that's a little, if you're from Nazareth, that could maybe make you feel bad. I mean, if somebody introduced me and said, "Yeah, Mark's from Rockford." I don't know if any of you have been to Rockford. They might say, "Can anything good come out of Rockford?" I might take offense. But Nathanael said what he meant. It meant what he said. He said he's a man in whom there is no deceit. No deceit. Another translation uses the word he's without guile, and guile's not a word that we use very often, but I kind of like it. To be without guile means that you're honest, transparent, sincere, free from trickery. The word in the Greek there, that deceit word, means to trick or a decoy, kind of a hidden meanings, but without guile is transparent, not subtle. Sometimes we like to be subtle, right? Nathanael wasn't subtle. He wasn't subtle. It can be described as a wholesome lack of awareness of worldly deception, lacking the ability to manipulate others. I like that. I'd like to be more like that. Oftentimes I can't speak for you, I won't say we. I am so often filtering what I'm going to say. How is this going to be perceived? Are they going to think less of me? Or are they going to get the wrong impression? You know, can filter like that. Nathanael didn't have that hesitance. He was kind of an open book. It's like a child telling the unfiltered truth. Remember a friend sharing, he had pretty young kids and there was a little squabble going on, and why did you hit your brother? Well, he had a toy that I wanted. He wouldn't give it to me. So I hit him and took it. That's being without guile. You know? Yeah. It's just, there's no hidden agenda there. That's just the way it is. He had it, I wanted it, I hit him, I took it. That's being without guile. We are so good. I am so good at concealing my true intentions. Right? Right? Someone without guile doesn't butter somebody up. You don't spin the answer to look better. You answer a question directly. In the business world, guile can sometimes be honored and valued, right? That guy really, he knows how to play the game. He knows how to get what he needs from other people. Nathanael was without deceit. And I'm challenged. Am I genuine? Am I honest? Am I sincere? Or am I manipulative? Am I difficult to read? Are people wondering, oh, I never know what Mark's thinking? You know? I mean, I know people like that. When I talk to them, it's like, I can't be sure what they're up to. Do people have to wonder if I'm sincere or just trying to get something? And I'm not talking about rash or harsh or, you know, I don't care. I have to be honest. Tell them what I'm thinking. That's careless. That's unloving. But to be straightforward and to be without guile is a good thing, I believe. And I'd like to be more like Nathanael. So seeking and following, that divine initiative by God's grace, seeking that missing part, the thing that I'm desiring, that relationship with God that He offers, that I'm created for, but unable to accomplish on my own. And the following, taking the next step, when God leads, am I willing to take that next step? Move on with Him. Persevering pursuit. Finding, have I recognized Jesus for who He is? The Savior. The Rescuer. Am I telling others, come and see? You gotta meet Jesus. Am I bringing? So I hope we can take away something from these disciples' experience. Seeking, following, finding, bringing, as Jesus took initiative and they responded. Let's pray. God, we thank You. Thank You that You initiate toward us. You put in us a desire to know You. You put in us a desire to be close to You, to be restored to relationship with You. I pray that we would be willing to follow, to pursue, to go after You like these men did. Thank You that You're patient with us. Thank You that You give us time to grow, but You want us to grow. Help us do that. I pray that we would know all that You've accomplished for us, Jesus, the love You demonstrated on the cross. And thank You. Help us be ready to say to others, come and see. Come and see. We've found the Messiah. We found the Son of God, the King of Israel. Help us, God, to know that. We pray all these things.